Chapter 11, read some verses to you there, and then we'll pray and have you seated and read some other verses. Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll start at verse 32. It says, And what shall I more say? For the time would fail to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the enemies of the aliens, and whose women received their dead raised life again, and others were tortured, and not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll talk about why we were made weak. Father, we are honored to have your word, and I thank you for it. I pray that we'd be blessed tonight. We've been blessed, Lord. We give you glory. Lord, you brought us here for a purpose. You've finished the purpose. You're moving us to another place. We trust you. We don't know that, but we know who we believe in, and we just trust you and praise you for what you've done. And Lord, we can see a little bit of the blessing and the reason now. Lord, we just pray that you do exceedingly abundantly above all that we're seeing and do great things. We pray tonight you'd speak to us and that we would be understand what you have for us and helped again, Father. And we just give you glory for all the times you speak to us through this weak servant here, Father, who's not very talented. And you bless us so many times, and we thank you. And I pray tonight you'd please move me out of the way and just speak to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You be seated. Well, about 4 years ago, it was the date was 3/13.
The reason is because it's on my sermon here tonight. I always date my sermons, and I write them out. I got my sermons all the way back to 1997, and so. You would have thrown away, but I keep for whatever reason. I keep these sermons, and so I put the date on them every time. And so I've just felt like we should preach the sermon we preached the day we moved to this building. I came to church I was driving to church, and Matthew and Jess had beat me to church. Matthew, I think it called me and said, "Pastor, there's a problem with the church. There's some kind of alarm going off, and there's water on the ground, and it looks really bad. It's really messed up." And so, well, not much I could do but keep driving to church. And I got to church, and as we told many times, is basically a pipe had broke, we think, Friday night or Saturday morning, and ran water through a broken pipe that went to a toilet and upstairs, and ran water for 3 days. And by the time we got there, the whole ceiling has collapsed, the lights were on the floor, everything was destroyed, the walls were sagging, everything was gone. And this pulpit was in a corner, was in pretty good shape, and we didn't keep anything there. Everything was on the shuttle. We brought everything in, the piano, everything. We brought it in, songbooks, you name it. And so I get there, and I look, and I said, "Oh, it's worse than I thought. This building's destroyed." So the funny thing about that whole story is the owner of that building never maintained it and never cared, and he just didn't take care of anything. We would fix so many things, and finally something would get to the point where one time I just went. We always change the lights. I just let them go and see how long they would go and how many lights would go out before they'd change them. And after more than half the lights were out, I finally said, "I can't take it. I got to change them." And so I started changing lights again. I would call the owner's wife and I would say, the owner, husband and wife, and I would say to her, "It's getting pretty bad here. Can you guys do this?" She'd just say, you know him. You talk to him. I can't get him to do anything." And that was our relationship in that. He never maintained it. The building was getting worse and worse and worse. So I hop on my phone, and they say, "Hey, we got a problem here. Your building's destroyed." So he comes there, and I never forget, all of the things that he neglected and not cared about or anything, everything got destroyed, and he had insurance. He was as happy as a June bug in the last day of May. I mean, he was happy. He was, oh man, I wonder how this happened. Man, look, he couldn't get the grin off his face. So the building was destroyed, and we had rented this building right here because we had Larry Smith in town, and we couldn't use the building during the week, so I talked to the owner here. Afterward, I talked to him about renting it, and he wanted so much money, And we didn't have the money. And so he said no. And so that had been like a year and a half before we had rented this building, just this section right here. And so I get on the phone and I say, hey, Leonard. And he said, I said, Pastor Joel. He says, oh, how you doing? I said, great. I said, I'd like to rent your building. He said, that's great, man. I've been hoping you'd do that. Let's talk about it this week. And I said, no, I want to rent it in about 45 minutes. And he says, what do you mean? I said, my building's destroyed. I need a place to meet. And off we came. Unfortunately, everything was in the shuttle just about. We threw the pulpit in the shuttle and off we drove here. Remember, Michael had just been saved 3 months. I don't know, 2 months, less than that. And I sent Jess and then I sent you guys ahead. I don't remember. I sent Jess and Matthew ahead. And then I left Michael there to tell everybody where we were. I thought, what a disaster. Nobody knows where the other building is. It's 45 minutes before Sunday school is going to start. We are going to be, what a mess this is going to be. We're moving on Sunday morning. Like if you announce it Saturday, that'd be bad. By the time I confirmed that Leonard, I had a half hour. And so off we came to church and came here and set up something and and the craziest thing happened. We had a great crowd. We had a bunch of visitors and we had 4 adults get saved. I was like, how in the world did that happen? Hey, what? There we go. We lost an hour. So it was everything. It was all those things. The last pastor of this church, this used to be a Samoan church. This room was a Samoan church for years. And the pastor died in the pulpit. And so I thought, okay, now we're going to this church. And I think I'm going to see if I can make it one more hour. I made it. We came to, and God just worked it all out. Well, we thought we'd go back to the old building when it got fixed, and I talked to the old owner, and I talked to Leonard, and our insurance agent said in our church insurance we have moving mess. You get it. We pay for it. Stuff. That was a long story, but anyway, we gave Leonard some money and for this building and. And eventually, as the old building started getting fixed, the owner came to me and says, listen, it's time you start paying a bunch more and da-da-da-da-da. And I realized the difference between this building, which is nice, and that building, which was not very nice, wasn't that much money, so he brought it to church. We decided to stay here, and God moved us. We've been here ever since. Well, on that Sunday, of course, I don't know. I did not know all of that was going to happen, okay? I was just going to church like any other Sunday, which, of course, is open door. Anything can happen. I was just going to church like any other Sunday. But my sermon's title was Why You Are Made Weak. And I thought I'd just preach this sermon again. I preach a sermon around. I preach it in Sacramento and some other places. And I preach this. I want to talk about why we're made weak. And in that situation, we were completely weak. We were completely out of control. We were completely not... under our plan, everything was wrong. It was, I think you're reminding me of time change. Everything was all messed up. And yet there was God. When we were weak, he was strong. In this passage, we see in verse 34, it says, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Let me take it to 2 Corinthians 12. Out of weakness were made strong. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse 7, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. That means pound me, beat me up. Lest I should be exalted above measure, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul was getting so much revelation, so many things from God, so many amazing things that God said, I need to make you weak again, Paul. And so he gave him a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan to pound him. And he says, and God, I asked God to take it away. Paul, who could raise people from the dead and do all kinds of miracles. And yet Paul couldn't get his own thing removed. And God said, I'm not going to heal you because my grace is sufficient and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Same thing it said in Hebrews chapter 11 there. We see that. We find Paul was very weak and very aware of it.
That's strange. You would think that in our mind, in our way of thinking, we think if somebody is weak and knows that they're insecure and not able to do much, but weakness is a very precarious thing. It can take you to greatness and God's great strength. It would take you to insecurity that you can't do anything for God. Paul was still, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. But Paul was very weak in many ways, and he knew it. And he didn't worry too much about it. Look at, let's go back to, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul shows his weakness, 1 Corinthians in chapter 2 and verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Think about the words he just used about himself. Weakness, in verse 3, fear, much trembling. Wow. So Paul said about himself, I was with you in weakness. He was a leader starting the church. I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. I was physically shaken. He knew this about himself. 2 Corinthians in chapter 10. I almost never preach a sermon twice in our church. It's not happened five times. I don't think I've ever preached a sermon twice. This may be the fifth time, I think, if I remember correctly, ever preaching the same sermon. But I think this is applicable for just remembering where we're going and what's going to happen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 10, it says, "For his letters, say they, his enemies, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech contemptible," which means common. Not much of that guy, they thought. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, Paul knew this about himself. He said, they say I'm weak. They say I'm weak in bodily presence. When I'm with you, I have no stature, and I'm weak, and I'm shaking. And they say, man, that guy can't preach. That guy's not much of a leader. He would not be much in today's church. He would not be much in today's day when you got to be this dynamic CEO to run a church, most Christians think, or to be a leader. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4 says this, "For though he was crucified through weakness, Jesus, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you." So again, this thing about weakness and the power of God is not looked at the same. Verse 9, for we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. Paul talked about, the more I seem to be weak and suffer, the more the power of God comes upon me, and you become great. See, weakness was not thought of like we think of weakness. We are self-exalting, so if we can't exalt self, we get insecure. Where Paul was just worried about the accomplishment. If I have to become weak to get the power of God, that's fine. I don't mind that. I'm good with that. I can handle that. I want to see God work. And generally, when we are weak, God becomes strong in us, and we become strong. He came in weakness, but God used him so much more than he had. And then God made him weak again. So he came in weakness, he wasn't much, and then God exalted and used him and did great things, and all of a sudden God had to make him weak again because he'd become so strong in a way that it could be misused, and so God had to make him weak again so he would depend upon God. That's why he says about his thorn in the flesh, God gave me this because the power of Christ is going to rest upon me from this thing. I need to become weak in this way. Let me illustrate this to you. All right, Daniel, where's Daniel? Oh, you're back there. Jeremy, come on up here. All right, good. All right, you stand up on the stage. I stand right here. Jeremy's a Christian, and I am God. If he touches me, he gets great strength. He gets great power flowing into him. He becomes mighty. He becomes great and strong if he touches me. And I need him to be close to me.
I need him to reach out and touch me. We need to touch God. We need to get in God's presence. We need the power of Christ to rest upon us. And so I want him to have power. But I know I'm the only strength. When he becomes weak, I become strong. So I'm going to try to get him to me. Okay, so that's what I'm going to try to do. Okay, so Jeremy, come on up here. Mm-hmm. All right, stand right on the edge. Put your heels on the edge. All right. Now, lift up your left foot. Okay, stay there. Now reach your arms out in front of you. Okay, now give me a songbook here. There you go. Try it again. Try it again. See? If God's not around you, you fall. All right, ready? Do it again. All right. Put your arm, you turn, keep your, don't put that foot down. All right, hold this now. Hold it way out there. All right, if you start falling, just lean on me. How you doing? All right, close your eyes. All right. Okay. Now, why did I put him in that position? So he'd reach out to me. So he would need me. So I asked him to do things that weren't easy for him to do. Okay? If he couldn't do it, I'd hand him a heavier weight. I'd stack more songbooks, more songbooks, more songbooks. Then I'd have Timmy come and shove him for me out. And anything can be seated. So I'm putting him in that position because I need him to lean on me. Okay? You need to lean on God. So God puts you in a position where you need to lean on him. Where you see a person who had all the control in the world, and he had everything going, everything figured out, and all of a sudden he had all this confidence in the flesh, and God said, I need to make you weak. Because your strength cannot do the things that need to be done. Only my strength can do it, and my strength is made perfect in weakness because you need to lean on me. And now you've got the power of Almighty God upon you. And so God said to Paul, you're getting too many revelations, too much strength, too many things. You know what? I'm going to give you a messenger. Hey, you demon, go over there and beat up Paul for a while. And pound him. Paul says, Lord, take this away from me. No, my grace is sufficient. In your weakness, you'll become very strong. It said these people who did mighty things in weakness became strong. And that's what happens. It happens a great deal. By the way, weakness is not sinfulness. But it's being inadequate and dependent. Weakness is not sinfulness, it's being inadequate and dependent. It's when, without me, you can do nothing, becomes very real to you. By the way, isn't that what salvation is? You can't get saved till you realize how weak you are. Till you can't save yourself. That your good deeds won't save you. And then you say, I can't save myself, Lord. I'm just a wicked sinner. Oh, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then you get a wonderful, powerful salvation. Why? Because you became weak and knew you were lost. That's what salvation is. And so God does this with many things, and he does this for us. It's a strange thing. I wrestled with this morning's message a lot. I knew something was going to happen this morning. I didn't know what was going to happen. I had no idea. But I knew I was having too many attacks and struggling too much with the message. I've been through this so many times that I knew God was going to do something this morning. I had a message written, and I'd spent time in prayer, and I'd done everything, the normal things that I would do. And then I could tell I hadn't prevailed. I could tell something, we needed more. There needed to be some kind of breakthrough. So I spent more time in prayer. I was up here, and I went home, and I spent some more time in prayer. Then I usually read myself to sleep, and I usually do some other things, and I just said, I just need to pray more. Something's going on here. Did you know that not knowing what to do and kind of, I don't got it all figured out and boy, I'm feeling like I'm battling and boy, I feel like I'm not all I can be and I need help. Do you know that's exactly what God's trying to get us? You know, in your marriage, you might try everything and try to do all this stuff and you say, I just can't do it. God says, okay, good. Finally, took us long enough. Because you get to that point where you say, I can't. And God says, I know you've never been able to. But I'm not going to let you glory. And I've got to get you where you need me. And you're going to pray and say, oh God, I can't do this without you. And he says, you never could. But now I've made you weak enough to get that. Now you're going to lean on me. And now my strength will be made perfect
in weakness. Once you get this, and you kind of get this in your mind, you no longer are as messed up when you're messed up. When the church is, you know, the church has been doing great since we had no idea what we're going to do. I don't know about you, but I have felt like I have preached my best sermons ever in the last 2 months. If you weren't here on Thursday night, we preach on Psalm 23. What can you get new out of Psalm 23? Do you know 4 different people told me that sermon changed your life? Amen. Thursday night. But we're in this situation where we don't know what's going to happen next month. We don't know how long we're going to be in that building. We don't know what kind of disaster is going to happen in building a new building, all the things that can go wrong. There's a lot of things we don't know. We're in just the right spot. We're leaning on God. It's okay. Your life isn't worked out. Things aren't clear to you. When I preach this sermon, I'm not going to tell all about this. When I preach this sermon, I had had a series of services where I absolutely, usually I know exactly, I will know either tonight or tomorrow morning what I'm going to preach on next Sunday. Okay? I know you think I'm going to catch you doing something this week and preach on that, but I'm not. I will have it, and I will know it. But during when I was preaching this message, for a month before that, I could not find what God had to preach. And it would come down to the wire before I'd get that sermon. And there were sermons that God was using in a great way. The farthest God got with me is one Sunday, God finally said, he wouldn't give me anything to preach. And I don't preach if I don't know what's God's will is. I was sitting there it was Easter 2 years ago. And God didn't tell me what I was going to preach. I had no sermon prepared. And he wouldn't even give me a text. And I literally got up from there and said, this is going to be interesting in my mind. And got me in the pulpit. And God said, Luke 20, I think 24. That didn't sound right. There's no Luke 24. Last chapter on the resurrection. By the time that service is done, we had people crying out to God. We had an amazing service. But I was, boy, you talk about praying. I was praying. Why? Because I was so weak and everything, I didn't know what to do and I was not settled. And you learn that when you are weak and you can't, you realize God can and you depend upon him. Other people in the Bible felt very weak. Let's look at Psalm chapter 6, just some verses here. We have to have everything so figured out and so worked out, and how's it going to work out before we can ever go forward? Psalm 6, just people in the Bible were weak all the time. We could read all of our Psalms. Psalm 6, verse 1, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chase me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. He's weak. You think Moses felt weak when he was there at the burning bush? I can't do this. I can't do this. I'm not a good speaker. They won't receive me. They won't believe me. Elijah? Boy, there's people all over the Bible who felt very weak. Let me take you to 1 Samuel chapter 15. I want to show you the reverse. Here is a man who was very weak at the start and then became very strong in his own mind, and boom, he was done. His name is Saul, 1 Samuel and chapter 15. chapter 15, verse 17. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made to be head over the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee to be king over Israel? Hey, when Saul started, they said, here's our king Saul, and they couldn't find Saul because he was hiding. He was weak, and God put his power on him. He's a blessed man for a while and led the country to victory. Then he became big in his own sight, and God said, when you were little in your own sight, didn't God put you over the whole nation? When you were weak. Why we are made weak? Saul forgot it. His kingdom was taken from him. Why does God do this to us?
few reasons here. Number one, his strength is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:10. His strength is made perfect in weakness. You depend upon him, and he works, and he gets a glory. You pray a whole bunch more. You know how much better you pray when things are, when you don't think you can, you don't know what's going to happen. You know how much better you pray? You know how bad you pray when everything's all figured out and worked out? I've tried to pray consistently so God doesn't have to get me real low to make me pray. I'm too selfish. I'm too weak. I don't want to get there. Oh God, what am I going to do? The whole world's a disaster. I've ruined my life. I've got to pray. I don't want to do that, man. That's a hard way to pray. But we pray better. I prayed better. I'll be honest with you. I prayed better that morning when I didn't know what I was going to preach between there and here than I did tonight. I had a sermon already ready tonight, and I was all and looked at it all week long and everything else. You pray more. You depend more. His strength is made perfect in weakness. Why? Why he makes us weak? Because his strength is made perfect in weakness. Number two, weakness often shows reality. I want you to understand that. Weakness often shows reality. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, it's like this. You are frail. Okay? Your body is an amazingly complex thing that little tiny things can ruin it. If you had the smallest little pin tap your heart, you'd be shocked what it would do. You have one blood vessel burst in your brain. Have one little clot of blood in your body. You'd be surprised how frail you are. It's an amazing thing that all of us aren't keeling over all the time. There's so many things. We are all frail. God remembers we're but dust, but we don't remember that until we get weak physically. What age were you when you all of a sudden realized your mortality? See, when you get weak in your physical flesh, you realize how weak the body is, and you really say, I got to take care of myself. You ever hit that? There's people who start, they hit that point, say, I got to quit eating junk food and everything else. Why? Because you realize your weakness. You realize the human body needs help, and the human body can be destroyed so easily, and you begin to take care of yourself. Why? It reveals to you, health problems reveal to you that you're not indestructible. In the same way, when you're weak spiritually, hey, you could do nothing without God anyway, but all of a sudden your weakness shows you that you can't. It was true the whole time. You always needed God. You always couldn't do anything without him. You always needed to pray. You always needed God, but all of a sudden your life started falling apart and you couldn't do anything. You say, oh God, I can't do this. God said, you never could. But I'm just revealing to you. I'm letting things happen. Now, for the rest of your life, the way you feel now dependent upon me, stay that way. By the way, when you get this down, when you get to depend upon God all the time and realize you can't do it, it doesn't matter much whether it's a little thing you can't do, which looks like something you could do, or it's a gigantic thing. You get a bunch of faith that, you know what, God, I can never do anything. God's brought me this far. I can handle whatever comes along. And you, like Paul, though he was very weak, had great confidence that God could do it. Amen? Do you follow that? Because whether it's a little tiny thing, it's taking my next breath. God, thy God in whose hand thy breath is. I can do nothing without God. So if God shoves me and puts me on a field somewhere and puts me way over my head and I'm preaching to hundreds of pastors or 1,000 people, well, I want you to know, I can't do that either. But I can't do this tonight. And I can't win a soul to Christ one-on-one. I can't understand the Bible without God. I can't read the Bible and understand it for myself without God. And so it doesn't overwhelm me anymore because I'm always over my head. I always know I can't. I usually do. Sometimes I mess up and don't stay there. So these weaknesses where God all of a sudden just lets us down, 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 down. You say, oh, why this? Oh. Just answer this one question and figure this out, Lord, and everything will be great. God says, no, notice you're praying to me? You couldn't do anything without me, but I'm revealing to you how bad you need me. Now, this is for everything, but right now you see it in this. Number three, why did we go through this? To move us to serious dedication. To move us to serious dedication. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 1. I don't want to read the whole chapter here. We all need God in everything. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Hannah's brought low. She can't have a child. But that's bad. That's bad, and she's struggling with that. But then the other wife, and that's already going to be bad for two women. But the other wife is taunting her and tormenting her because she can't have a child. And then her husband's a dope and says, "Honey, I know you can't have a kid, but aren't I better than 10 boys?" Typical man response. And she clawed his eyes out. And verse 8, and then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, "Hannah, why weepest thou?" What a dummy. "And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons?" So Hannah rose up after they'd eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk, and she's miserable. And Eli the priest sat her upon the seat of the post at the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed to the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, "O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaiden, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaiden, but will give unto me a man-child, I'll give him to all the days of his life." Why did God bring her low? To move her to serious dedication, to make her give her child to God, because God needed a Samuel, a prophet, a Nazarite, a man of God who'd do mighty things and who'd change a nation and bring it back to God and anoint David and Solomon and do these mighty things. But he had to get her totally weak, down, and just cry out to God and get her to the point where she was so serious and she wanted it so bad, she would dedicate and make a vow to God. Sometimes you get a hunger for God to do something. You need that person saved so bad. You need this thing to happen so bad. God uses this to get you a hold of him and really get you passionate and deep and spiritual. Because you'll find out when you need something big and you've got to have something that's important, all the things that you thought were so important that you live for suddenly look very small. And you say, "Oh God, I've got to have this thing, Lord. I'm going to get serious about this thing. I promise you I'm going to do this. And Lord, I'm really going to start praying. And Lord, I'm sorry I've been playing games." Why? All this weakness brings everything into proportions. You'd be surprised when your child is seriously sick how you realize, boy, I wasn't really praying. This is hard prayer here. You really realize it brings everything. So being weak is not that bad. Paul said, "Hey, when I'm weak, then am I strong." It said they became mighty through their weakness. And you're probably saying today, that's why God does these things. He has you do what you do not feel like you can do. "Oh God, why'd you call me to do that? Why'd you ask me to do that? God, I'm not good at that." So you'd be weak and trust. Why does he keep something not settled? "Lord, I've been trying to get this thing settled. It never seems to get settled. This thing's always wrong and always messed up. And God, if this one thing was settled, my life would be so good and so..." God, why won't you settle this thing? You praying to him about it is the answer. If I said, how many of you just need one thing you'd really like to have settled in your life, and life, you just take a big... And how many of that's not settled? And you're in weakness. And you're just, "Oh, Lord, I need this." That's sometimes because he's trying to make you weak. And he's trying to make you dependent. And trying to make you strong because you depend upon him. That's why he lets you struggle or even fail sometimes. So you can get to the point when you're weak, he becomes strong. You lean on Jesus. You pray and say, "God, I need your help." And see, your strength is right here. And what you need in life is up here. The best you can ever do is here. When God brings you down here, you now get the power of God and you're over what you could have ever been. And more than what you need to be to do what needs done. But God had to get you weak before he could give you his strength. Because you would do it in your own strength and you never get it done. why you're made weak. His strength is made perfect in weakness. Weakness often shows reality. To move us to serious dedication. And you say, I've been trying this thing and this will not change and I just cannot fix this thing. I've tried and I don't know what to do anymore. Maybe you're just going to be there for a while. And you're just going to pray and you're going to get close to God and say, Lord, I just need your strength to keep on going and your strength to fix this situation. I thought I was so this. I thought I was so that, God. Now I realize, Lord, without you, I'm nothing. God says, bingo! Time for blessings. Give them great power. Give them great blessings. Take them to a great new height. They'll appreciate where they are now. They'll depend upon me in the future. Being made weak is all right. But we like everything settled and right and simple. So I go and prepare this message. Somebody drew in the back of this. I don't know what they were doing. I think they did their math homework on it. And I say, here we are. Why we became weak. And I'm going to preach this sermon. And the roof's destroyed. And I say, how are we going to have church in a different building a half hour before on Time Change Sunday? In a building I don't know where it is. And I don't have a track to give them. Lord, we need you today. But God, we need God just as bad today as we did then. Just that day revealed it. And so, the owner comes to us and says, you got to move from here. We all got to move. We don't panic anymore. We don't know what's going to happen. The whole time, I don't know what's going to happen. Remember every time I said it before, but I have no idea what's going to happen. But you know, I wasn't uncomfortable in that. Why? Because when we're weak, he's strong. That means it's in his hands because I can't do anything. I can do my best. You can do your best. But ultimately, you got to say, Lord, my best is not enough. I need you to bless this thing. And you need God. Being weak is okay. Saying I can't do it's okay. Matter of fact, that's when his strength is made perfect. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we would let your strength flow in a mighty way. Weakness is okay. Bring salvation when we realize we can't save ourselves. Lord, I pray tonight that we would realize that you did a mighty work by bringing us here. But we couldn't have figured it all out. And it wasn't because we had a good plan. Sure wasn't because I, as a pastor, had a great idea of leading us to this building that Sunday. Lord, we just know it's all you. And I pray, Lord, that we would give you glory. And I pray that we would be okay when we aren't settled and figured out and perfect. And we just trust you. And we would let you without complaining. Now we cry out to you like Hannah did. And beg you for something and tell you we need something. But Lord, I pray we'd be in a situation where when we get put in a situation we can't do it, when we are weak, when life is making us so we feel like we can't do things, we would realize that maybe we're being brought low so we could be used and mightier and stronger, and we trust you, Father. Really, Lord, help us in that. Help us, Lord, to be okay with being weak. Paul mentioned all the time, had no problem with it. Weakness and trembling. When he's preaching, trying to start a church, standing in front of people, his voice shaking, he's trembling. And Lord, you're down there pouring your spirit upon him. He didn't mind it because they trusted you, not Paul. May, Lord, we be okay with being weak right now. But may we also not let it make us insecure and feel like we can't do things, but make us look up and depend upon you. In Jesus' name, heads bowed, eyes closed. When you're weak,